B-Pod Studios.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Daily. On today's episode, we told you that Knuckles is black back in 93, and guess what? Confirmed. Also, we got an update on the big Valorant tournament about to go down. Who's going to go to Berlin? We asked Weirdbeard. Also, we're going to be talking a little bit about indie games with Weirdbeard's Indie Corner, as well as the Nintendo Indie Showcase that went down earlier today. This is Checkpoint Daily.
The latest esports and gaming news. Checkpoint XP Daily has got you covered. Find it online at checkpointxp.com. Get in the game.
Hey, what's up, fellow nerds? Your host, Norris Howard, here as always. Very happy and excited and blessed to be here with you today. If you are not right now, make sure that every Wednesday you go ahead and holler at us over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp, where every Wednesday we record two episodes. You can see our beautiful faces come in and say nice things in the chat, or maybe share some of your trash opinions for us to shoot down and eviscerate. That's usually how things go here on Checkpoint Daily. But I want to introduce, of course, my intrepid crew. Weirdbeard to my left. What's going on, bro?
Hello. I'm this week's been a little like tipsy-turvy. Feels like things happen, and they stop, and then nothing, and then happen, and then stop.
Yeah.
That just makes me feel not uneasy, but just like
unsettled.
Like just shaking with energy, waiting for the next thing to happen.
I understand that. Robbie Landis is here.
That's right. And over the weekend, I, for the first time in my life, you guys probably aren't going to believe this, but for the first time, Katie and I actually indulged in truly bottom-of-the-barrel trash TV.
Really?
We watched Sexy Beasts, the dating show where they like do the makeup.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You can't see
did
people
you
look.
The guy did you see we, the guy we with watched, the dolphin?
Nope, we watched the first two episodes.
Okay.
And it is so bad.
Yeah.
It is
real bad.
So bad. Like I went through most of my life not really watching much reality TV. It's so bad.
What the premise? Is why would anybody be interested?
The premise
in
is the ultimate blind date.
Yeah, that way you don't know what they look
you
like.
You have to choose. But here's the thing. They're all fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
You're not going to put ugly people. You're not going to have the one ugly person come out and then say like, oh, damn, I picked the ugly one.
Yeah, like
they're all gorgeous. And
guess
what?
I'm about to look these people
up. And guess what? They're also all terrible people.
Yeah, there's one guy.
Like, you get through the speed dating round, and me and Katie's like, I wouldn't choose any of them.
There's one guy on there who you haven't seen him yet, but he comes out in a dolphin head, so you'll definitely know who he
yeah,
is.
Yeah, sure.
The absolute cringe lord of cringe lords, and I'm excited for you to experience.
Dude, the second episode, the guy goes, yeah, I always pull women's chairs out so I can check out their asses.
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with
people? The best part, because we were actually saying after the first episode, like, it'd be great if one person was just like, you know what, nah, I'm out, I don't want this. In the second episode, when the lady sends out the first guy, he's like, you know, you're gone, he goes, woo, yeah! He high-fives the other two dudes, hugs her, and then walks off, and then they give, like, the interview, and he's like, man, I wanted her to send me home. I did not want another date with her at all. And it's like, all right,
I respect that.
At least you're honest.
This is the goofiest shit I've ever seen. But anyway, yep. We're not going to spend too much time
no,
on that.
No, please. We've already spent too much.
Yeah, because that is really, I could have gone my whole life never being exposed to that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, here's what's happening in the world of video games. Now, listen, we got to start the show with this because this is something very near and dear to my heart. All right, one of the greatest actors in our planet Earth, Idris Elba, is being cast as Knuckles the Echidna in the next Sonic movie. And I just want to take the time to say we of the black delegation told you motherfuckers back in 93 that Knuckles was black.
Do you think that there's going to be any protests from people that think that this is like a wokeness thing where they're like, and now they're even making Knuckles black?
Absolutely.
It's going to be the next, you're going to tell me Piccolo's black too.
What the hell? If you don't think that that's already happening Absolutely. Somewhere, you're crazy. Now, thankfully, it at least so far hasn't like became a thing. Like, I haven't seen any petitions floating around yet, but I like it. I'm a big fan of Idris Elba.
I'm going to say literally, I'm very, very happy about this, because one of the big things to me, beyond obviously getting the personal confirmation that I knew always in my soul to be true, but also I think the thing I'm really looking forward to is that this is a big name actor again signing on to a video game movie. And again, we talk about many times on this show video game movies and how something's always missing, whether it be the actors or the budget or the understanding of the story or something. Something's always missing from video game movies. And then we have this brilliant film, Detective Pikachu, which is a solid 7.5 film as a regular movie.
Yes.
But as a video game movie is one of the best attempts we've ever seen.
Yeah.
And understanding that somebody like Idris Elba, again, this is one of the most lauded actors of our time right now, for him to be able to say, you know what, I fucks with Sonic enough, I'll be Knuckles.
Well, it's either that or they cut the check large enough for him to get interested in Sonic.
It's both. It's
both. Yeah, let's act like Idris Elba couldn't have turned that down if he wanted to, regardless of the money.
That's true.
He's just headlined Suicide Squad, which is DC's most successful movie ever, as far as I'm concerned.
No, it is. But the thing is that, well, not necessarily in the box office, but...
No, that's a little out of their control.
Yeah, right? Yeah. But, no, I really think, first of all, good on the production team to go, let's get a black guy to play Knuckles. Because there's somebody in that studio that went, you know Knuckles is black, right?
I guarantee you, they probably gave a short list and it was all white dudes. And someone was like,
somebody from the side was like, wait a minute.
Let's be real here, guys.
Can we also talk about how it feels like the people in charge of the Sonic movie production
actually play Sonic?
I think... they learned the lesson after the first reveal of Sonic with teeth that it changed what timeline we were on in the grand universal scheme.
Hold on. What's that thing in Doctor Who when you can't change something in the timeline? Like Sonic being changed to look like Sonic in that movie, that was a fixed point in time.
Yes.
That had to happen.
And like the moment that happened, all of a sudden now they go, okay, we've got to give a shit about what, maybe not what happened in the games, but like there's a guide work. Can't just rework Sonic.
2019 to 2020, and I think it was Detective Pikachu, it's Sonic, and it's The Witcher. I think those three properties, that's the turning point for video game movies.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it. I just think it's a good idea. I think it's a good idea. Now, Rick, I wanted to talk to you about this because I am woefully inept in keeping up with the Valorant scene, but I do know that the big tournament in Berlin is happening. It's going to be a big deal, but we do have NA qualifiers first.
Yes.
So what's going on with NA qualifiers? Who should we be looking out for?
So starting today, Wednesday, August, whatever the date is, the 11th. They are kicking off the Valorant Champions Tour Stage 3 Challengers Playoffs. Try to say that three times
fast. That's too many words.
They have eight teams. Of those eight teams, three of them are going to go on to Berlin to represent North America. So even though Sentinels won the Reykjavik tournament for the earlier big tournament, you don't get an automatic berth into Berlin. You get an automatic berth into World. So they still have to qualify here. So the eight teams that are going to be competing are Sentinels, Xset, 100 Thieves, Team Envy, TSM, FaZe Clan, Luminosity Gaming, and a new comer to the scene, Rise Gaming. And so it's going to be really interesting, I think, to see these teams kind of come through and start competing. You finally have KO, which is a new agent that you're able to select. You have Breeze really entering into being a map you have to be competitive on. The teams that Sentinels is for sure going to move on, right?
Yeah.
Like they're the team that's been steamrolling.
But TSM
for
has a brand new roster.
Yes, they do.
100 Thieves, we were talking off air, 100 Thieves has really perfected playing off meta a little bit, which may give them an advantage in this tournament because there's some meta wonkiness. But one thing I will say that I like is you reading off those teams, that's a nice combination of names I know and a couple names I don't.
Yes.
I really like that.
And I love the fact that especially in Valorant, you're not having to deal with the problem I have with League of Legends, right, is you have fans of certain teams and then that's it. You know what I mean? Like, those are the only people that exist in the space. The fact that you have a team name like Rise coming in there, I couldn't name any of those players.
Right.
But they're here. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they're here over some of, like, the other big, like, other big organizations are not represented.
Well,
on that
and the thing that I like about it is it gives it a opportunity for the scene to create cultures and teams onto itself, right? Like, perfect example, you got Virtus Pro and Astralis and CSGO. They don't play anything else. Mm-hmm. That's what they play.
Yeah.
That's what they're known for. So I think it's really cool that obviously we see some of the heavy hitters, the 100 Thieves and TSMs and whatever, but we're also seeing the Rises and a few others being able to eke out a piece of the pie for themselves. And I think this bodes well for Valorant as a scene.
And another really cool, interesting little breakdown tidbit here. There's 40 players across all teams, right? One of them is from the UK. 10 are from Canada. 29 are from the United States. That's it. There's no, you don't have any players from coming in from like Korea or China or getting them from elsewhere.
Well, and you've been saying, Rick, that this is the opportunity for NA actually to dominate.
Do something.
A-tier esport. I would say Valorant is not A-tier quite yet. It's approaching it. Mm. We know Riot will put the money behind it to try to get it there. But the one thing I am excited for is, NA could be, I mean, besides fighting games, but, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But, in terms of the big four or five esports, we all know that either Korea or EU has had a hold on the dominance of the big esports, you know? So I really am looking forward to watching some of this. I'm looking forward to maybe following some of these teams and seeing if I could pick a favorite out of all of them. And as you said, Sentinels will probably move on. If you had to pick right now on paper, who else might be moving on out of this?
TSM is the hands-on favorite to follow up and give Sentinels the most trouble. Xset has made some really good changes recently. They brought in a couple of new players. But more than anything else, I'm a personal fan. FaZe Clan have made a lot of really good, solid roster solutions. They didn't go on to compete in Reykjavik last time. Mm-hmm. They deserve to go to Berlin, I think. If we're not talking Sentinels, they've got Baby Bay, they've got your boy Dre, they've got Raucus, former, you know, international player for the Houston Outlaws and competing there. Like, I just think that they
and Team USA winner.
Correct. Yeah. I think FaZe Clan with the Smeag is probably my personal favorite.
All right. Well, we appreciate that, Weird Beard, but we're going to go right back to you for Weird Beard's Indie Corner. And
oh, man, I have to check out for two topics in a row?
Yeah, don't really. Check out!
You were talking Valorant. I almost said CSGO. Same thing.
It's close enough. All right, today I want to talk to you about a game called Death Trash. Death Trash features a post-apocalyptic world.
I actually know this one, and I'm going to play this one.
It's a good one, where cosmic horrors long for humanity, but meet punks with shotguns. It combines old-school role-playing, modern action gameplay, and player freedom. You get to create your own character, explore a handcrafted world. The biggest thing that I love the most about this is that it feels like an old-school point-and-click adventure game from the graphics itself, but you got guns, and it's just like, it's just weird enough. Like, indie games always have to toe the line of like creating an atmosphere that's super cool or going down like they'll go into the world of like, it's so convoluted you can't follow
too obtuse. Yeah.
This game, another recent indie release that reminds me of this is Carrion, if you watched or saw anything about that game. It's cool. It released 7 days ago. So far, it looks like it's earned almost over like gross sales over $500,000, estimated net sales around $294,000 for a very small like three-man dev team. 678 reviews, 88% of them 96.8% of them rated this with a positive review. Currently on sale right now for $17.99. I think it's a fun little pickup, man. Like,
and if you are a person who is okay with some slight, you know, gross out horror, it's pretty graphic, even though it's pixelated. So I will put a caveat on that. If you're not a, you know, gross out, you know, if you can't handle, you know, gross stuff.
And it's isometric too. Yeah. So like it's not
not the visceral, like you're up in it. Like you're not gonna see if you could crawl around in the blood and do your little streaks. We're not gonna be doing that. But it is pretty graphic, so if that's not your bag, this may not be the game for you. But it looks fun. It reminds me a lot of Blasphemous.
Yeah,
that
I can
came
see that.
Out a couple years ago,
and
but
even
isometric.
Like, even old Fallout. If you like old
Fallout 1 and 2,
this might be something that would scratch that itch of going out into the wastelands and blowing away mutants.
We dig it. But we're going to stay on our indie game kick because Nintendo put out their indie game stream earlier today. And we're going to talk a lot about it because I'm going to be honest, both me and Rick were very pleased with this stream.
We squealed a
few
times.
We literally screamed. So we're going to talk about that coming up on Checkpoint Daily.
Bring the heat. Share your thoughts on socials with us at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter. You could even be featured on tomorrow's show.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. Norris Howard here alongside Weird Beard and Robert Landy. Also, we want you to go to the website where we have all kinds of content there, as well as follow us on all of our social media at Checkpoint XP on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. Also, if you are a gamer, we all stream. We all stream. So if you're down to play some Apex or any of those types of cool games, you know, I'm always on some Final Fantasy 14. Robbie has picked up 14 once more. Rick is always playing some obscure indie game. If it has multiplayer, you can always check him out. So make sure you guys hit us up on social medias to see all of our streams. And if you can play along with us as well. We have a Discord too, by the way, the Checkpoint.
Yeah,
Discord,
we do.
So you can holler us on the Discord. Now, Nintendo. Usually when I say that, bad things are coming. Meaning, I got something bad to say about Nintendo, but guess what? Not today.
Not today. Say it again. Say you like Nintendo again.
I didn't say that. I said I got nothing bad to say about Nintendo today.
All right.
Because what we got was a really, really, really great, straight-to-the-point indie game showcase showing off everything coming to the Switch for the short future. But a lot of shit is out right now, today.
Let's talk about, before we get into the games, I want to talk about the presentation itself, like how it was structured, how it was, you know, presented and all that kind of stuff. This is what I wish every game, like not trailer, but like presentation was like, right? Like I think back to like the Ubisoft ones or like what we had to slog through.
You don't need to bring on like a random developer to tell us what's going on behind the scenes. Just show us the games.
And they had a few developers come on. It was limited to like 30 seconds saying, hey, we're really excited to be able to do this. Thanks so much. Would love for your support. Like, what I don't want to have is more developers come on and be like, we've worked tirelessly to improve the technology of the server space continuum.
You know what? But here's the thing. Save that for in-person shit.
Sure.
Right? Because I'm not, Robbie, I hate to bring this up because the game ended up to be such shit. But do you remember the Cyberpunk experience at E3 and how fucking cool it was?
No, because I didn't get to go to that one.
Yes, you did. You have the jacket. No, you didn't go.
I got the jacket.
You got the
after
jacket
the
after the fact.
Faker.
Yeah. You're not real. You're not real. Right. Anyway, I was there. And you walked in, and it was like a bar set up to be like it was in Night City.
Oh, that's fucking cool.
And so you would walk through, and they had cosplayers there who were dressed as if they were
fucking
from
cool.
Night City. And they had all the posters and the branding. Everything about it was super cool. I'm okay with it. And then the developers come out before they show the video to tell us all the stuff that they've been working on, which all of it was a fucking lie. And, like, they talk to us about the game. That part is cool. Save that for then.
Yes.
I don't want to sit at home and watch a stream where you talk about how you guys sat around and smashed watermelons with katanas in order to get the proper sound effects. That's a separate stream for a separate day. Put it on the YouTube and call it a motherfucking evening, okay? But y'all here to learn a little bit about the games, so that's why we're here. So let's start off with one thing that literally made me and Rick make audible noises, which is Bomb Rush Cyberpunk.
Yo, it was okay. I have to say, Jet Set Radio is not, I wouldn't call it a cult classic. Like, people loved it then when it came out, But
you don't replay Jet Set.
Yes, the love has only grown, and it's grown for a while, and it's been 15 years at least since.
I mean, it's one of the coolest video games
it's
ever made.
Fucking cool. And now you have the same guy who did the music for that doing the music for this. It has the graphic style. It has like just the cool factor that is missing from so many video games where you look at it and you're like, ah, whatever. There's no life. There's no soul to this.
There's no soul.
This oozes just like a person. And if you don't like it, I feel like you can go, I don't like it, but I respect
yes.
what it is.
Yes. You will not hear a person say, you know what? Jet Set Radio fucking sucks.
Yes.
Nobody will say that.
True.
Because at the end of the day, you at least appreciate the art style and what it did for video games in terms of the cool factor, that blend between music and video games and making it so they are inextricably linked. The experience depends on the sound design. And so I really, really appreciate this game. It's Jet Set Radio and everything but name.
Yes.
Like straight up and down. So I'm very, very excited to play that game. Also, you are very excited. Loop Hero is coming out.
Loop Hero was a banger when it came out on PC earlier this year. It's an auto battler. You have a person that like the world's been destroyed. You're rebuilding it and everything like that. The genius of Loop Hero and putting it on the Switch more than anything else is that it's not a game that I would want to sit in front of my computer and play for like 5 hours.
Yeah.
But you put it on the Switch and I'll start a game and look up and all of a sudden it is 5 hours later because I've been sitting on my couch just playing this auto battler and you go, oh shit, that was really fun. Like the Switch has found so many of these games that aren't, they don't suck you in the sense that like you're doing 500 missions on them, but they're just hooky enough.
The gameplay loop, the gameplay loop is so good that you can't help but play it over and over again.
Yeah.
Also, Robbie, a game I know you were looking forward to, Boyfriend Dungeon is
I'm not waiting for a sequel. Is Girlfriend
out,
Dungeon.
Is out today. There's girlfriends in Boyfriend Dungeon.
Yeah.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
You're romancing your weapons.
I just thought they were all boyfriends.
No.
You're romancing your weapons, so you go and you battle it out in like these different roguelike.
Okay, here's going to be the problem though, right? It's going to be the same problem that you run into with like glamour and transmog in RPGs, right?
Okay.
Is when you don't have that, you're like, "Oh, I could go with this ugly weapon that's really good." Or I could go with this really cool looking weapon that's not that great. Now I'm gonna be choosing my weapons not based on like I'm gonna have to fight myself. Do I want to go with the good weapon that I know I should be using, or do I want to go with the good looking weapon?
Well, here's the thing, because it's
that's the point, Robbie.
The weapons turn into the
yeah. No, I'm aware.
Boyfriends.
I know what it is.
So like, I don't know. I think you could
like what if I hate using the great axe because it's like I just don't like the mechanics. But they got, like, the best weapons, if you know what I mean.
The best weapons.
You know what I mean?
I hate both of you. Anyway, but that's the rub, right? That's the hook. That's what's supposed to get you to be like, I don't know.
I think it's interesting to get you to play a weapon in the game that you normally wouldn't because you like the personality of the weapon outside of the fighting.
Well, I'm Googling, are there girlfriends and boyfriend dungeons? I just want you to know that that Google, when I put are there girlfriends, the auto-translate was in GTA 5. Which it's just weird, but
that
all
is
right.
A little concerning. GTA role players. But anyway, also moving on, a game that seems like it was made specifically for me. Islanders, the console edition, is a very cool little meditative city builder that they announced.
You said that's the word you're looking for the most is meditative.
Yeah.
Like,
because when I play city builders, I don't play them to actually beat the game. I could give two shits about what the actual objective of the game is, right? No, I'm going to throw it in sandbox mode. I'm going to be creative and build the city that I want to build, and that's it. And then I'll do that over and over and over again.
Like, long term, not just like the sugar rush of picking up a break. Because when you pick up a brand new AAA game, you go, oh, I could play this forever, literally every day.
And you never do.
Yeah, like after 2 months, you're like, oh, fuck this.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of a game long-term would you want to... Do you think this is going to get more play? A game like the City Builder type thing or a big AAA, like,
with the City Builders, world? Because it's up to me. No experience is ever going to be the same. Even with Hades and roguelikes, that's part of why I've never gotten roguelikes, because ultimately they boil down to min-max and, you know, how quickly can I do something?
Mm-hmm.
That is that feedback loop is diminishing returns for me
100%.
Very quickly. Hades is the first of those games that actually kept me involved because they build a good enough world and story, and I like a lot of the characters. City Builder, for me, completely depend on me.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to get sick of myself.
Yeah. I also plus,
it's about creativity, right?
Yes.
Like, the second time you play it, you're not just going to make the exact same
city. Yeah. So, like, a perfect example, I have a save file in which I am trying to create the actual city of Detroit from memory without looking at maps for reference.
How's that going?
Pretty good,
like, actually. Do you look every once in a while to see how close you are?
Every now and then.
Okay.
But I don't have it dual screened.
Or do you get like a second party to come in and be like, how am I doing?
I have.
1 out of 10.
I actually have. I've gotten one of my like uncles to come in, and like I had it on my laptop and got one of my uncles coming in, and I was like, what city is this? He was like, that's Detroit. Where is it? What is that? I was like, I built it. He's like, what? I was like, yeah, I built it in this game. He was like, how? I was like, with my brain. He's like, oh, okay, cool. But yeah, that's what I like about it. I'm rebuilt. I'm making Skyrim. I have a map that's Skyrim that is, I'm rebuilding a town.
Well, the other thing too is that
it's
this
nice.
Is.
I'm sorry. I'm looking up Boyfriend Dungeon stuff. They call them Beyblades.
Beyblades.
I think that the other cool thing about this is that it's procedurally generated. So
yes.
It's not just like a flat surface, go like in SimCity, go build a town or whatever.
Yeah.
Like you have islands or you have mountains on different ones, or sometimes it's like half elevation on each. Like,
and the best part about it is there was like, get stuck, just hit a button, reset it.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. I'm like, what? That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. I love games in which they go out of their way to say the objective here is not to complete a story or get the high score or sweat it out. No, play it.
Just play.
Enjoy
it.
That's it. So I really like that. Also, we got a deeper look into Metal Slug Tactics, which will be coming out next year.
So good. It looked like, I mean, my heart still beats for Final Fantasy Tactics. Like the original on the PS1.
Vandal hearts for me.
Lives in my soul.
I feel
soul.
Like there's always one tactical game that people like. There's always one.
And it was probably their first.
Yeah, it's people who love, like,
Tactics Ogre. I'm surprised there wasn't Disgaea for you weeb ass.
I know. But this one looked not, like, okay, the art style was fucking banging. It looked gorgeous.
That's what's great about it. During the combat, the way that it has, like, the tears of, like, you know, the like, animated
the cut-ins,
stuff in there as well.
Yes!
Yeah.
No, it looks real good. And Daimu, man. I was just talking about Daimu is killing it on sort of taking these old, quote-unquote, dead IPs and reviving them on the Switch.
What's the one that's set in, like, sort of a World War II backdrop with anime, Valkyrie?
Valkyria Chronicles.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. So
you know what else the art style reminded me of? It reminded me of Advance Wars.
Yeah.
Like an Advance Wars style of just like I don't know. Like I got instant dopamine from just watching it.
And Rick, speaking of dopamine, Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon
made for me the only match 3 puzzle that will make me want to sell everything I own so that I can buy it.
Yeah.
Just so you know, the Shovel Knight fandom, by the way, is super upset and salty because they were hoping for some Silk Song stuff out of this showcase.
Dog, I don't give a shit.
I feel like the hope for like the whole next expansion, and then you get like what is this, like a match 3 for Shovel Knight?
Yeah. But
this is like some Diablo Immortal stuff for Shovel Knight fandom.
I absolutely disagree. This does not look like just a shitty Candy Crush match 3. This looks like Yacht Club Games puts so much love into everything that they do. This is their baby. There's no way that they would just pawn this off to like some Korean, you know, like game makers and they just bought a kit to slap shit onto. It looks like it was made with care, and it looks so just like, I don't know. Like, yeah, okay, match 3 may not be everybody's cup of tea, but it's got to be deeper than just like Puyo Puyo style.
Yeah, there's other really cool games here. We got Far Changing Tides, which is a side-scroller platformer. We also have Toeem, which was like a camera-based black and white. It looks like it was made on a Game & Watch.
Looked very cool.
Very, very interesting. Eastward, which is another story-based game. We have Necro Barista, The Final Pour, which is basically you run a cafe in hell.
Combines two of my favorite things, anime and pretending that I'm dead inside.
Yeah, like, so there you go. And it combines two of my favorite things, which is anime art style and coffee. And lastly, I'm going to put this out there, and everybody's going to laugh at me, but they showed a very brief blip of Winemaker Simulator for the Switch. I'm very excited about Winemaker Simulator. But anyway, that's going to be it for this episode of Checkpoint Daily. We'll be back here tomorrow, so make sure you guys are tuned in for that. For Weird Beer and Robbie Landis, I am your host, Norris Howard, and we hope you all have a great, great day.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.